Our scripture reading tonight comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, beginning with the 46th verse. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." These are the familiar words of the Magnificat, Mary's song. We've been singing them in worship throughout Advent, both on Sunday mornings and each week in these midweek evening services. The words are familiar, not only because we've been singing them this year, but because they come from a very familiar story, a story that is told every year at this time. Mary's is the third and final story of an unexpected pregnancy that we have read and reflected upon during these midweek services. 2 weeks ago, we read about Hannah, the childless wife of Elkanah, who prayed for a son, promising to raise him according to the law in order that he might become a priest. And when Samuel was weaned from his mother, Hannah took him to the synagogue where he was raised and taught by Eli, to become that priest that she had promised. Samuel turned out to be not only a priest, but a prophet and the last judge of Israel as well. It was Samuel who anointed Saul as the first king of Israel, and later David to replace him. Last week, Andrea read and reflected upon Abram and Sarai's story. They were well advanced in years and they had no children when God promised to make Abraham's name great and his descendants as numerous as the stars in the night sky. Sarah laughed. She laughed at the possibility that she could become pregnant at her advanced age. But it was God who had the last laugh. When Isaac, her son, was born, Isaac, his name means laughter. Isaac would go on to have twin sons, Esau and Jacob. And it's Jacob who stole his father's blessing and birthright from his older brother, who would have his name changed to Israel and would have 12 sons, who would become the 12 tribes of Israel. So his unexpected birth, like Samuel's as well, was a pretty big deal in the history of God and God's chosen people. That story brings us this evening to Mary's story. The venerated mother of our Lord, who, like Hannah and Sarai before her, didn't have any children. But Mary's barrenness was unlike theirs, because she was so young, still yet a virgin. However, like God did with Hannah and Sarai, God created life in her womb, a life that forever changed the world. We gather here tonight, over 2,000 years later, because God looked with favor upon Mary, who we know little about, except that she was young. And in a way that defied her years, Mary understood that God was blessing her. Blessing her in order that through her, the world might be blessed. Well before surrogacy was a viable thing, Mary took on that role to carry the Son of God in order that no one would be able to question his humanity. And among the things that you most often hear discussed or debated, the humanity of Jesus, at least in my experience, is not typically one. I'll hear people discussing whether or not Mary's conception was actually immaculate, and does it matter? They debate the divinity of Jesus and how Jesus could be both God and human. But I rarely hear people question the humanity of Jesus. Apparently, a human birth story, no matter how miraculous it is difficult to negate. I don't want to tell a woman that she didn't experience birth. That seems like a fool's errand to me. Mary responded to the news of her pregnancy as if it were an answer to prayer. And she praised God. I can't imagine she was expecting and praying that she might become pregnant, but yet she responded in praise to God. And then she began to describe what this child would do. I think most of us are familiar with Mary being described as the mother of Jesus. And that's an apt description, I would say. But I don't know that I've ever heard Mary referred to as a prophet. John the Baptist, yes. Mary, not so much. But here she is describing not only how Jesus' birth will fulfill what the prophets have said, but also what we can expect from this child that she is carrying. We encounter Mary at a pivotal point in history, bridging the Old Testament with the New, just as Jesus does. They both invite us to look back to see what was written and said, as well as to look forward to what is now possible through him. For you see, Jesus came to establish a new covenant. Like the promises that God had made with our ancestors, only this new covenant requires only that we believe, that we have faith in him as the Messiah, the Son of God. This new covenant creates a new relationship with God, one that's not predicated upon what we are able to do, but instead upon what God has done for us. It's about grace, the gift that is unexpected and undeserved, but so desperately needed by each and every one of us. And through this promise, through the birth of Jesus Christ, God has recreated God's relationship with creation in a way that invites us to think back to when God created initially, back to that creation account in the garden when the man and the woman and the rest of creation existed with God. Friends, we read that God walked in the garden with them. God walked in the garden. God was present in creation in a way that most of us, I don't think, experience today. That is, until the temptation of the fruit of the tree of good and evil overcame the man and the woman. And after that, after they ate of the fruit of the tree, the man and the woman hid, and as a result, they were sent out of the garden. Separated from God. But through Jesus, we have been invited back into the garden, back into the creation that God intended from the very beginning for a new start, a new opportunity to live in relationship with the Creator, to walk with God. All of which makes the Magnificat a magnificent witness and reminder to us that God has looked with favor upon the lowliness of each and every one of us. And God has, and God wants to continue to bless us as God blessed Mary. Amen.